Hello, it's Bernie here. Evidently, Bill and Randy want me to tell you people that you shouldn't listen to the show at work or in front of kids because they're swearing. Swearing in the show. There's a few fucks, a few shits, and some words I can't even pronounce. And I'm almost sure that they are drunk, but they're still not part of the 2%. What are they going to play now? Loud music? Jesus, I don't need this crap.
But I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever. I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces and the battle for the soul of our nation. Between those who want to pull America back to the past and those who want to move America into the future. My lifetime has taught me to embrace freedom and democracy, a future based on core values that defined America: honesty, decency, dignity, equality, to respect everyone, to give everyone a fair shot, to give hate no safe harbor. Now, other people my age see it differently. The American story of resentment, revenge, and retribution, that's not me. I was born amid World War II, when America stood for the freedom of the world. I grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in Claymont, Delaware, among working-class people who built this country. I watched in horror as two of my heroes, like many of you did, Dr. King and Bobby Kennedy, were assassinated. And their legacies inspired me to pursue a career in service. I left the law firm and became a public defender because my city of Wilmington was the only city in America occupied by the National Guard after Dr. King was assassinated because of the riots. And I became a county councilman almost by accident. I got elected to the United States Senate when I had no intention of running at age 29. Then vice president to our first black president. Now president to the first women vice president. In my career, I've been told I was too young. By the way, they didn't let me on the Senate elevators for votes sometimes. Not a joke. And I've been told I'm too old. Whether young or old, I've always known what endures. I've known our North Star. The very idea of America is that we're all created equal and deserves to be treated equally throughout our lives. We've never fully lived up to that idea, but we've never walked away from it either. And I won't walk away from it now. I'm optimistic. I really am. I'm optimistic, Nancy. My fellow Americans, the issue facing our nation isn't how old we are, it's how old are our ideas. Yeah. Hate, anger, revenge, retribution are the oldest of ideas. Yeah. But you can't lead America with ancient ideas that only take us back. You lead America, the land of possibilities. You need a vision for the future and what can and should be done. Yeah. Tonight you've heard mine. I see a future where defending democracy, you don't diminish it. I see a future where we restore the right to choose and protect our freedoms, not take them away. I see a future where the middle class finally has a fair shot and the wealthy have to pay their fair share in taxes. I see a future where we save the planet from the climate crisis and our country from gun violence. Above all, I see a future for all Americans. I see a country for all Americans. And I will always be president for all Americans. Because I believe in America. I believe in you, the American people. You're the reason we've never been more optimistic about our future than I am now. So let's build the future together. Let's remember who we are. We are the United States of America. And there is nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we act together. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And if you want to talk about character, Bob, you better come at me with more than a burning flag and a membership card. If you want to talk about character and American values, fine. Just tell me where and when, and I'll show up. This is a time for serious people, Bob, and your 15 minutes are up. My name is Andrew Shepherd, and I am the president.
This is so exciting. We've only been, haven't seen it. What?
It's so exciting, isn't it?
I'm just so excited. But you know what? We were only just talking to each other just a few days ago.
Just recently. And then Joe Biden did a speech. By the way,
my goodness. Joe Biden? Joe Biden I knew.
Who is that guy?
Who was that masked man?
Who the hell was that guy? You know, I put
what are they giving him? I want it.
Absolutely, man. I put some Aaron Sorkin at the end because that's exactly what I felt like watching him. Yeah. I felt like I was watching The West Wing because he hit the fucking ball out of the park. God damn it, you glorious son of a bitch.
He was brilliant. I mean, he was like he was baiting them. He baited the opposition.
It was like watching Meadowlark Lemon play against the senators at the Harlem Globetrotters. And it was like he's a natural there. He spent most of his life in there. So, man, he's just fucking with him. He was fucking with him. I swear to God. They looked awful. Each and every fucking last one of those pricks looked like shit on television. They just looked like shit. You had go ahead.
Georgia?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, MGT. She just looked so stupid.
She looked like
Trump branding.
Did you see the take that Biden gave? It was like he was reacting to a little kid who had a costume. He literally looked at her like a granddad going, oh, isn't that nice? Aren't you special?
Oh, you mean when he was walking through the crowd, too, and she came up to say something to him and was recording him.
And then she tries to bag him in the address by interrupting him. And he holds up the button and says, yeah, I got one of these. Now sit the fuck down, bitch.
Yeah.
Well,
they should make it compulsive viewing. It was just brilliant.
Oh, man.
Sleepy Joe Biden is dead.
He ain't sleepy anymore, man. He ain't sleepy. Let me get to it. And this is some of the stuff I've collected about it. I went to the CNN website. More than 32 million people watched Biden's State of the Union address. Viewership was up approximately 18% from last year's speech. Now, a lot of people have been saying, yeah, I think Joe should toss it in. A lot of these guys, man.
Not anymore.
But no, not even then, because this is what an incumbent president gets. That's the advantage. He gets to have 32 million people watch him. and give and gave him a chance to walk in like Babe Ruth and just hit it out of the park. More than 6 in 10 of the SOTU, according to the CNN poll, more than 6 in 10 SOTU viewers had positive reaction to Biden's speech. Americans who watched on Thursday said 62% to 38%. And by the way, kids, that's enough to win an election. That's enough for a landslide.
Is it?
That's enough for a fucking landslide. And it is about that 30, 60, 30 kind of thing we were talking about. That the policies Biden proposed will move the U.S. in the right direction rather than the wrong direction. Now, in a survey conducted before the speech, just 45% of those same people said Biden's policies would move the U.S. in the right direction. So his favorables went from 45% to 62% by the end of that speech.
Amazing.
That's amazing, man. That's
amazing. I just think, Sleepy Joe Biden is no more.
Well, no,
that guy was like on fire.
He was. I really, it happens sometimes when I'm in a very, very good frame of mind, and I'm a political junkie, as you are. And when I see something that makes me happy, I giggle. And I was giggling through that entire speech. I was having so much fun. And I was the last show was Why Trump Is Winning.
He took the piss out of so many of them.
He was just fantastic. This is the report I got from this is from CNN. Biden may not have uttered his predecessors' names during his remarks, but there was little question that Trump was at the center of the State of the Union, making Thursday's speech a particularly politically tinged yearly address. It was reflective of the extraordinary political moment that Biden finds himself in, where the political norms of the past decades, ones that Biden had openly pined for, have been largely set aside. And my reaction to that is, thank fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Obama tried to make nice with these cocksuckers. And the Democrats are always trying to make nice. Oh, let's all get together and have a thing. Fuck that. Let's just bulldoze the fuckers. And that was today. And this was a speech for the moment. It swept away the illusion that the Republicans are in any way the loyal opposition. They are not. They are not. They were treated with the contempt of which they deserve. It sometimes bordered on contempt, which is well-earned. There is a majority of people in America who agreed on all the first four issues that Biden talks about. He talked about Roe versus Wade. You're talking about 70% of the population in favor of Roe versus Wade. Immigration, which he brilliantly diffused and turned their back and made fun of them during the speech on this topic. Tortured them with it in the middle of the fucking speech, man.
Yeah.
He just twisted that, you know. Gay marriage, which is top. Climate change. The American people are where the Dems are policy-wise. And what we needed was someone to deliver that message effectively. And Joe Biden did last night. And the Republicans look small. They look like snarky, insignificant children dressed for a fucking game show. It was fucking disgusting. They didn't know when to applaud, whether they should applaud America or not. You know, in the very opening of the speech,
They were just told not to applaud anything.
Yeah, I know.
Don't stand up.
And I'll tell you, that dippy Speaker of the House guy. Yeah, I'm just going to call him that dippy Rob Johnson, man. Yeah, he looked like he was passing a fucking stone. It was lovely. It was lovely.
He didn't nod up and down quite a few times.
It's just like, oh fuck, I got one coming through.
He did nod a couple of times.
Yeah, he did nod because you couldn't debate him unless you were a complete utter cunt, which is basically the Republican Party. And the very opening of his speech, he referred to my predecessor. By the way, he referred to that a lot. And he lambasted Trump for encouraging Russia to invade the NATO leaders, shortly after he went after the election lies of 2020. He called this the gravest threat to democracy since the Civil War. And he just basically hit all those things hard again and again and again and again. Let's have a listen to this highlight clip, because I think it's worth listening to. This is a highlight clip from the So Too, and let's enjoy ourselves. Put on your West Wing music, ladies and gentlemen, because
Joe
Biden's going to take him out to the woodshed and beat the crap out of him.
Take a formative.
USA, USA. Okay, hold on for a moment. Here it is. This is the highlight reel, baby.
But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. It wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now, my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, "Do whatever the hell you want." That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable. In a literal sense, history is watching. History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. America stood strong, and democracy prevailed. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win. In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges, help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now. What are you against? Drug detection machines to significantly increase the ability to screen and stop vehicles smuggling fentanyl into America that's killing thousands of children. This bill would save lives and bring order to the border. It would also give me and any new president new emergency authority to temporarily shut down the border when the number of migrants at the border is overwhelming. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is, you're saying, no, look at the facts. I know you know how to read. I will not demonize immigrants saying they are poison in the blood of our country. I will not separate families. I will not ban people because of their faith. Unlike my predecessor, on my first day in office, I introduced a comprehensive bill to fix our immigration system. Take a look at it, as all these and more. Secure the border, provide a pathway to citizenship for dreamers, and so much more. But unlike my predecessor, I know who we are as Americans. We're the only nation in the world with a heart and soul that draws from old and new. Home to Native Americans and ancestors have been here for thousands of years. Home to people of every place, from every place on earth. They came freely. Some came in chains. Some came when famine struck, like my ancestral family in Ireland. Some to flee persecution, to chase dreams that are impossible anywhere but here in America. That's America. And we all come from somewhere, but we're all Americans. We can fight about fixing the border, or we can fix it. I'm ready to fix it. Send me the border bill now. There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about. Clearly. Clearly. Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024. If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
The Democrats finally figured this out. And Biden finally figured it out.
Yeah.
Game on, bitches. Partisan, you bet your ass. We're not.
You can read, can't you?
You can read, can't you? Listen,
you
bitches.
You can read, can't you?
We're going to fucking devastate you. We're going to humiliate you. All right. There's a point in Rocky III. I swear to God, where Paulie's in, he's getting bunched and he's getting punched. And he said, "Now what's happening? He's getting killed." No, he's getting mad. And I think in a cranky white way, a white bread way, this was Biden's Rocky moment. And it put to bed that idea that you can deal with these fuckers. You cannot deal with these fuckers until you change them. Until you absolutely...
At least four times he said, "You try to do that, I'm coming for you."
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, I'm not letting you do that again. I'm coming for you.
Get off my lawn.
Wow.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, man.
It was just so fun.
Well, I mean, the speech was only an hour long with all the applause and standing up and sitting down. It was probably only about 40 minutes, but that is a great speech.
Yeah, no, it was really put together well. And whoever wrote it for him was outstanding. And he just ticked off every box. He just did it. And he just turned to the Republicans going, "I'm going to drink your milkshake." You know, I mean, But when he turned to the Republicans and said, "Well, you don't like that bill, that $1 trillion stuff you got."
You said you're going to do it again. Are you going to do it again?
You going to do it again?
If you do, I'm going to come and get you.
Well, listen, as you would have it, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to have a point of comparison. I happen to have one. Okay.
Oh, you don't have any of the predecessors.
Oh, well, yeah, I do, actually. So now, okay, remember, the theory is that Joe Biden, that guy, is too old to be president. But this is one of his most recent speeches, came from CPAC. This is what he's doing. Direct. Let's have a little comparison, Randy. It certainly is fun to have comparisons, don't you think?
You know I'm totally off script right now. The Green New Deal, right? Darling, is the wind blowing today? I'd like to watch television, darling. Russia, please, if you can, get us Hillary Clinton's emails. Please, Russia, please.
He asked Russia to go get the emails. We're going to look into his finance. I said, where did that come from? He always talked about Russia.
The attorney general says, I'm going to recuse myself. And I said, why the hell didn't he tell me that before I put him in? Russia, 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 Russia. My wife said, you never spoke to anybody from Russia, darling. I said, that's right.
President Trump is waiting for the Mueller report.
He's bad. He's a bad, bad. He's a bad, bad guy. But you know what I like about this? Number one, I'm in love, and you're in love. We're all in love together. We've done something that nobody's ever done. Don, how you doing? Hey, Donnie. I love you, Donnie. For 35 years, now they call
Mr. President, sir. How are you?
Trains to Hawaii. How do you get to Europe? We haven't figured that one out yet. We don't use airplanes anymore. Is doing well, except, of course, for the never-Trumpers. But they are on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You don't get rich by sitting behind a desk, so I didn't want to do that. And I'm in the White House, and I was lonely. I said, let's go to Iraq. Okay, General Raisin Kane, how fast can... Sir, we can have it totally finished in 1 week. I said, 1 week? And yet I see senators that are there for 20 years, white hair. See, I don't have white hair.
Yeah, you know, Biden, he's just crazy.
Oh, old Sleepy Joe. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Now, the first thing that comes to mind when you listen to this guy is...
The predecessor.
Yeah. When you listen to Trump, it's kind of like...
Oh, no, don't say his name.
You're unhinged. It's unhinged.
It's like Beetlejuice. It's like Beetlejuice. Don't say his name.
I just don't get it. I do not get it. It has to be a cult kind of thing, brain control, because how can you listen to that first guy who basically not only does he know every statistic in his head, not only can he fashion an argument with quantitative and qualitative evidence, and not only can you use rhetoric, and then we transfer to the three-year-old mentally retarded kid. Yes, I said it. I'm sorry. I was brought up in Boston. That's what Trump sounds like. He sounds like some fucking idiot. Some guy, I swear to God. And the idea, if you just take 30 seconds of Biden's speech and 30 seconds of anything Trump says,
At any time.
But of course, we all know that. Now, as you know, the five, the Fox News has been basically constructed in this entire thing that, you know, Joe Biden, he's just old. He's infirm. He belongs in a nursing home. These fuckers made the bar so low that when he kicked it out of the park, it was doubly awful. So what do the people at Fox do when their entire narrative changes overnight?
What do they do?
I'm here to tell you, it's time to listen to the five at Fox. Janine Pirro. Oh my God.
The judge Janine.
Or as I used to call her, the soccer mom on meth. they just weren't too happy out there. They just weren't too happy. Let's have a bit from the five. I really do enjoy making
this is after the speech,
and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Here's the five.
It was must scream TV. The president yelling at Americans for over an hour during one of the most hyper-partisan State of the Unions. President Biden's lack of leadership was on full display in a speech designed to please his base of MSNBC flunkies and not the American people. Joe unleashing a fire hose of lies about the economy, inflation, and taxes. And still, we don't know what his vision for a second term is. But we do know who he passionately hates, Donald Trump.
My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. Now my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. Predecessor, 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 predecessor. My predecessor, my predecessor, my predecessor, my predecessor, my predecessor, my predecessor. But unlike my predecessor, I know who we are as Americans.
Americans' biggest issue, of course, with Biden is that he's not mentally fit for the job. But the big guy tried to brush off those concerns by joking about it.
I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever. I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces and the battle for the soul of our nation.
And in one of the most shocking moments, a Gold Star dad getting arrested for heckling Joe Biden after reminding the president of his disgraceful exit from Afghanistan.
Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up.
That man is the father of a U.S. Marine killed in the 2021 Kabul airport bombing during Biden's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. You know, I'm gonna start with that, Greg, and I'm gonna go right to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have a Gold Star father, and one of the Gold Star parents was on one of the other shows this week, said she had never heard from President Biden. The families have not heard from President Biden. And, you know, their sacrifices are not remembered. They are literally sitting ducks in an open-air airport in Afghanistan. And they arrest this guy. He's charged with a misdemeanor.
Well, you have to understand there are priorities, Judge, when you're doing a speech. And the amount of potato chips in your bag is way important than the deaths that occurred in Afghanistan, according to this administration.
Did they hear the same speech?
By the way, first of all, I will get you dollars to donuts that guy's been set up in the audience by Fox.
Yeah.
I will get you dollars to donuts that somebody at Fox said that he might do that. We'll always have that to fall back on. The second thing is that evidently now he's not infirm. Evidently now he's just hyperactive. And you know something, Randy? He's just so partisan. Yes. He's so partisan. How can he be so partisan?
And you've got these ugly old farts looking at him and sitting on their hands. Of course he's partisan.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like he went after, look, Trump spent his half of his primary when he was running against Hillary Clinton. He spent half of that time insulting Gold Star families.
Yeah.
Trump did, if you remember. And now, evidently, the precious folks over at Fox News, Biden's insulting Gold Star families. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Which candidate are you for? I know. You're the one who's for the one who thought that all the people that died in World War I and were buried in Europe were suckers. That's your thing. That makes me absolutely amazed. You guys have it both ways. You support a candidate who has absolutely no respect whatsoever for the fighting people of America or any veteran, yet you feign concern for this person in the back of the State of the Union. You don't give a shit. You had nowhere to go. You all set up to sit there and go Sleepy Joe, and he turned it on you, and you had nowhere to fucking go. Your take, Randy?
Oh yeah. Oh no, he's partisan. He's partisan.
Of course.
And he's hyperactive. He must have taken something.
I know. Yeah, it's terrible. The thing is with bullies. And I do know a thing about bullies or so. I've worked in schools. You know the best way to deal with a bully, like a really bad one? You call off and you smack him in the head and he whines like the little bitch he is. And that's these guys. Oh, you're so partisan and you were yelling. Oh, fuck off. Fuck off, you people.
You're hyperactive.
They suck so bad. Now, I have one last thing that I really thought we'd react to before we, this is just a so-to show, so it's going to be shorter than our regular show. But I'd like you to have a reaction to Katy Britt. You know, the Republicans really wanted to get somebody to respond to the State of the Union. So evidently they went back to 1976 and got one of the Stepford wives.
Oh, no. The robot one.
Yeah. The RoboWife 2000 in her kitchen with a crucifix around her neck. Talking about just you and me and maybe the other soccer moms just being really concerned about America. Katy Britt, I have never seen, I've seen better performances in, I don't know, the suburban, amateur company doing their, their production of Grease. It's just fucking awful, man. Did you have a chance to see Katy Britt?
No.
Oh, well, you're missing out on something. You want to hear Katy? Just a bit?
Yeah, a bit
of Katy? Because she's just an artist. She really is. Ladies and gentlemen, for the so-to response, the comic stylings of Alabama housewife and senator Katy Britt. Come on, Katy. It's your turn, darling. Come on, let's go.
Good evening, America. My name is Katy Britt, and I have the honor of serving the people of the great state of Alabama and the United States Senate.
Good evening, America. My name is Katy Britt, and I have the honor of serving the great people of Alabama.
I am a proud wife and mom of two school-aged kids.
You see, I'm not just a senator. I'm a wife, a mother, and the craziest bitch in the Target parking lot.
I'm worried about their future and the future of children in every corner of our nation. And that's why I invited you into our home tonight.
And this is why I've invited you into this strange, empty kitchen. But first and foremost, I'm a mom. And like any mom, I'm going to do a pivot out of nowhere into a shockingly violent story about sex trafficking.
I traveled to the Del Rio sector of Texas. That's where I spoke to a woman who shared her story with me.
Rest assured, every detail about it is real, except the year, where it took place, and who was president when it happened.
Our future starts around kitchen tables just like this, with moms and dads just like you.
Kitchens are where families have the hard conversations, like the one we'll have tomorrow about how mommy freaked out the entire country.
Just ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 3 years ago?
Just ask yourself, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago, back in the good old days of 2020, the year that nothing bad happened?
Never forget, we are steeped in the blood of patriots who overthrew the most powerful empire in the world.
Tell my kids every night, we are steeped in the blood of patriots in a castle made of bones. Good night, kids. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Jesus.
And then I was on a mattress in a little shoebox. And then they were all over me.
Katy was like all Fargo for like the first 5 minutes. It was like all Fargo and everything was good. And then suddenly everything got rapey.
Yeah, where did that? What is it? What is that about? Joe Biden, is he responsible for that? What was it?
Here's the true fact, Katy. The true fact, and I know you're just really upset, by golly. But the true fact is that if you were
every person every day on that mattress several times a day.
and on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats sleeping together. It's the end of the world. You know,
true. He has no dick.
But, you know, first of all, it's true. This woman has no dick. But the other thing is the fact that she helped actually arrange for a compromise that they tried to get the Republicans to sign. She was part of that. And Biden was sitting there going, yes, let's fix it. And you know what she did? She voted against it because Trump told her to. So spare me the rapey stories.
I think, but it's good to understand.
You disingenuous bitch. If you really gave a shit about the rapey stories, you would actually have signed the fucking thing rather than be a tool for Donald. By the way, how did you get this? Did you spend a little time with Donald? Giddy, it's a great opportunity. I don't want you not to get it. I'll be in room 308. Chase me. You can do the response. Fuck. You know what? I really hate phony Christians. Because if she gave a shit, she would have done something about it. She didn't do anything about it because she only gives a shit about politics. And her and Davey and Greg and Biff and her nice
Wesley
old
and Wesley.
Wesley fucking crusher. My fucking God. And that is actually, you know, some of the women were pointing out that literally that Stepford wife shit, that's the way the Republicans, this is the way the Republicans see you women. That's what they want. They want you going, yeah, that's okay. That's fantastic. No problem, honey. Knock me up. I'll have two or three kids and I'll be a soccer mom and I'll vote for those tax cuts for the multinational corporations because that's what Jesus would want.
And Donald.
And Donald and Jesus. They're the same. They are the same. I sat there going, my son is a quite accomplished drag queen. And I'm going to show this to my son. And I think there's a character here.
Oh yeah, like it's Phyllis. It's the 21st century Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh no, it's amazing. They've gone back to Phyllis Schlafly. Yeah, that's in the 60s. But I swear to God,
it's in the 70s. 70s. Did you see?
Started in the 60s.
Yeah, I saw it with Cate Blanchett.
Yes, I did.
That was amazing.
It was amazing.
But I remember when she came to Melbourne.
Yeah,
and John Fain. Just tore strips off her.
Well, yes, because it's based on, you know, I personally don't care what Katie does. I'm sure she's found God and everything like that. But I don't like people who lie, and I don't like people who are sanctimonious. You're ginning people up to get emotional about something that you personally could have fixed, and you chose not
to
for political reasons.
Yeah.
So go fuck up a rope, honey. I'm sorry. Am I being too severe?
Look, you should give the girl on the mattress a break.
Stop, Randy. I'm sure Wesley is very active in that respect because he's a red-blooded American boy football star.
Maybe that's where she met him. That's where she met Wesley.
In central casting.
In the little shoebox room with a mattress.
In a shoebox room and a mattress and central casting at the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is all I have. We will see you soon.
I want what he's having.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Harry Met Sally. I want that.
Yeah. So we'll leave you now with just our usual
Frank Sinatra singing My Way.
My Way. That sounds good. Anyway, we'll be back. We'll see you in about a week,
and
guys.
The end is near.
Talk to you soon. Take care. See you later.
Bye, Willie. Bye-bye.
Bye, Randy.